That really is our desire this morning, is that you will come to the altar in whatever way that you need to come, that ultimately, at the end of this service, that you will respond to the singing and the preaching of God's Word in a way that you experience the life change that only Jesus Christ can give. This morning, I want you to take your Bible and go ahead and open to 1 John chapter 5, and in a moment, I'll get to the first 13 verses. One day, a border control agent noticed a truck pulling up to the border. And after years of experience, this border control agent said to himself, "I know that this is a smuggler." And so he pulled the truck over to the side and he asked the driver to get out of the cab. And they began to question the driver and asked the driver what it is that they were carrying and smuggling. And the driver said, "I'm not smuggling anything." And so they began to inspect the truck. They opened it up. They looked everywhere. They found no illegal contraband that was being smuggled into the country. Well, they let the truck driver get in his truck and drive off. And then the next week, same truck driver came through, and the same border control agent saw this same truck driver. And again, he said, "I know this is a smuggler." So this time he pulled him over again. They got out every piece of technology you could imagine and examined that truck from top to bottom, front to back, found nothing. This didn't go on for weeks. It didn't go on for months. It literally went on for years. And years went by, and this same border control agent would see this same truck driver, and he always knew deep within his gut that this truck driver was smuggling something across the border. So finally, the border control agent became old enough to retire, and he was getting ready for retirement. And when it came time for him to retire, those last days on the job, sure enough, here comes that truck driver up to the border, and he pulls him over again, and he's about to do an inspection to find some kind of a contraband. And he says, "Look, we've been doing this for years. I know you're a smuggler. You know you're a smuggler. I promise you, I'm not going to do anything after all these years, but I have got to know, what in the world are you smuggling across the border every week?" And with a grin, the driver looked at him and said one word: "Trucks." Sometimes we can be called Captain Obvious, right? It's very obvious when you read 1 John, John's intention in writing this letter. You can't miss the obvious, because John gets to the point in 1 John 5:13, when he says this: "I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." John wrote with the intention to empower Christians to live with the confidence that they believe and belong in Jesus Christ. And I don't want to waste any of your time this morning. I want to get right to the point, and I want you to know that the ultimate desire of my heart today is that I want every person sitting here to live with confidence that you belong to Jesus Christ. One of my heroes, Adrian Rogers, said, "A child of God should have an exclamation point rather than a question behind his name." He said, "I want to turn you from a doubting Christian to a shouting Christian, from a hope-so salvation to a no-so salvation." At the end of this message, you're going to be given an opportunity to really clarify where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. In a few minutes, we're going to invite you to respond to what you're going to hear. And what I want you to do is I want you to prepare yourself for that moment when God is speaking to your heart, that you would simply obey whatever it is that the Spirit of God says to you this morning, because one of the most important things for any believer is to leave here with confidence that they know Christ. And if you're not a Christian, to come today to saving faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you this morning that when we reach the invitation moment, that unless you just absolutely have an emergency or you need to get to the restroom, we understand that. But I'm going to ask us to simply stay honed in, intact, for that moment when many of you are going to make a decision to respond to the message that God puts in your heart today. When we read the Bible, we oftentimes read the scripture about a man by the name of Doubting Thomas, and we often ask ourselves, am I him? I remember when I first became a Christian that, you know, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know anything about the Bible, and so shortly after I repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I started having doubts. And I really became fearful. And I remember a friend in high school by the name of Rod Stansky, taking me to a church that he attended. And, I was just so scared. I was afraid, you know. I said the same things that many of you have probably said before. Did I pray the prayer right? Did I really mean it? Am I really a Christian? Now, I went down to the altar just to pray, and when I did, all of a sudden, I felt all of these hands on my back and on my head, and I didn't realize that this church was a very expressive group of people, which I love. I wish at times we may be a little bit more expressive at times, but all of a sudden, I was kneeling at the altar, and I hadn't been in church 3 or 4 months of my life yet, and all of a sudden, I felt all these people's hands on my back and my shoulders and my head, and they were praying out loud over me, and I got real scared. And I remember leaving there and sitting down with the guy that was discipling me from Young Life, and we were talking and walking through Scripture, and I remember sitting down and reading 1 John and just simply coming back to the place of, do I put my trust in Jesus alone as Savior and Lord? The truth of the matter is, sitting here this morning, there are many people that would never admit it, but right now, where you are, you may be struggling. Spurgeon said, "Full assurance is not essential to salvation, but it is essential to satisfaction." Now, there are 4 kinds of people listening to this message. And you're going to have to decide which person you are. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:5, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? It's the same kind of thing that Peter said in 2 Peter 1:10. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So what kind of a person are you? Let's examine ourselves. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with God. Which kind of person are you? The first kind of person that we have here this morning is the confident person. And the confident person says, I am confident that I have been born again and I belong to Jesus Christ. Is it possible to be confident and sure that you are a Christian? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, that's why John wrote this letter. I've written these things to you who believe, that you may know that you have eternal life. The second kind of person that's sitting in the auditorium this morning is what I would call the unsure person. That's somebody sitting in the balcony or one of the wings or even here on the floor that's saying to themselves, I really am not sure if I am a Christian. Is it possible for someone to be a true believer to suffer from doubts concerning their salvation? Of course. Why else would John even write this letter this way? Because John says, I want you who believe in the name of the Son, of the only begotten Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I would assume from that, making an inference, drawing out of the text, that John is writing to people that may be struggling with the certainty or the sureness of their salvation. So there's the confident person, there is the unsure person. A woman once told Dwight L. Moody that she had been saved for 25 years and never had a doubt, and he said, I doubt you're saved. Sometimes doubt comes to us because we aren't saved, and sometimes doubt comes because we're in sin. Or sometimes doubt comes because we're in a place of weakness in our spiritual life. There's the confident person, there's the unsure person, but then there's the clear person. Now, the clear person is the person that's sitting here this morning and you say, I know I am not a Christian. There's no question about it. You know beyond any doubt, no matter what anybody else thinks, no matter how many times you attend church, no matter what your mom and dad think about you, no matter what the pastor thinks about you, deep within the recesses of your soul, you know I am not a Christian. You're clear about it. And then fourth, there is the deceived person. Now, the confident person says, I know I've been born again and I belong to Jesus. The unsure person says, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. The clear person says, I know I am not a Christian. But the deceived person is the person that says, I think I'm a Christian. Is it possible for a person to think that they are a Christian, but to be lost and without Christ? Sadly, yes. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, the writer says, take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Now listen to me. Today, I have been praying, our deacons have been praying, and our staff has been praying that every person listening to my message this morning will have clarity, that the Spirit of God would bring clarity to your heart, to your mind, and to your soul. And so right now, I want you to bow your heads, and I want you to pray with me, and I want you to pray this kind of prayer. Dear God, I want to know without any confusion, what is the condition of my soul? I am willing to be honest with you and with myself. Just take a moment and talk to him. Amen. Here's the goal of the message. The goal of the message is for every person present and listening to clarify the condition of their soul and to live with confident assurance they belong to Jesus Christ. You see, God wants you to have assurance. The intent of this message is not to make anybody doubt. The intent of this message is for those who are Christians that are doubting to live with the abundant assurance that only can come from the Lord Jesus Christ. But my concern is that there are many people here, I believe, who are confident that know they're saved. I believe that there are some people that are unsure of their salvation. And I believe there may be a few people that are clear, they know they're not a Christian, but my biggest concern is that there may be those that are deceived that think they are a Christian, but have never been born again by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's my biggest concern. And when we come to the end of this message, my desire is not that you'll do what Daryl wants you to do, but that God would give you such clarity that you will respond based on the condition of your soul. Full assurance is God's will for us. Hebrews 6:11 says, "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end." So how can I know if I am a Christian? Would you stand for the reading of God's word? 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. Listen very, very closely this morning. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with water only, but with the water and with the blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And the three are in agreement. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For the witness of God is this, that He has borne witness concerning His Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning His Son. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. John says, I've written to you who believe. I'm writing to Christians that you may know. This would seem to indicate that there may be those that didn't know that you have eternal life. I want you to know about the condition of your soul. So how can I know if I am a Christian? It's interesting. When you read 1 John chapter 5, there are some key words and key phrases that are really quite important for all of us to note. First of all, I want you to take a pen in your hand, and I want you to scan through the passage, and I'm going to, for the sake of time, not through each one of those walk, but I'm going to let you do that. I want you to look up, and I want you to underline the word believe. It's a key word in this passage. And then another word that you want to make sure, or a phrase that you want to make sure that you note in this passage, is the phrase either born of God or born from above or born again. That phrase, born of God, is very, very important. And then another key word is the word know. Underline that word know. The word that's used here is a word that indicates absolute assurance. And then another word, and you might have in your Bible the translation testimony or testify or the word witness. All of those words, whether it's the word testify or testimony or witness, is the same form. It's a one Greek word with multiple forms, and it's the word that we get our word martyr from. And I want you to underline or write a circle around that word, because what you'll notice is over and over and over again in 1 John chapter 5, John keeps talking about the witness that points to the reality of your relationship with Jesus Christ. You can just write beside that word testify or testimony or witness, you can write the word evidence. The Bible says that God teaches us that a Christian is someone who has been born again. It is faith in the finished work of Christ that makes a child of disobedience into a child of God. John uses the phrase born of God 7 times in this first epistle. And he describes in 1 John all of the birthmarks of what it means to belong to Jesus Christ. Now, when you read 1 John, you read things like they practice righteousness in chapter 2, verse 29. They do not practice or make habitual the practice of sin in chapter 3, verse 9. They love other Christians in chapter 4, verse 7. In chapter 5, verse 4, they overcome the world. And in chapter 5, verse 18, they keep themselves from Satan. So how can I know that I am a Christian? 3 questions I want you to ask yourself that I believe are found in the first 13 verses of 1 John chapter 5. Number one, do I believe the testimony about Jesus? Do I believe the testimony about Jesus? Now, it's interesting because the word testimony is a legal term that means to give evidence of. When someone is bearing witness, they're giving legal evidence to the reality of a fact. And over again, we're reading about in 1 John chapter 5, for example, in verse 5, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, here's the question. I believe that Vladimir Putin is the president of Russia. That's a fact that we know is true. Is that the same thing that the Bible means when we say we believe in Jesus? Are we simply saying, I believe in the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on a cross and rose from the dead? Is that what the Bible means by believe? I don't think so. I don't think that at all. As a matter of fact, in James chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, you believe that God is one, you do well, but the demons also believe and they shudder. So believing in something as a fact is not the same as believing with faith. Because believing a fact about Christ does not make you a Christian. It requires that you have a belief that involves faith. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the devils, they say out loud, we know who you are. Jesus, you are the Holy One of God. You are the Son of God. So the devil is absolutely orthodox in his belief in the incarnation of the Son of God in Jesus Christ, but he doesn't have saving faith in Christ. And the concern that I have is that there may be someone here today that believes the facts of Christianity, but you haven't ever truly believed the testimony about Jesus in the way that the Bible means to believe. When Paul said to the jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved," was he just meaning believe the fact that Jesus is real and suddenly you're a child of God? That's not what he meant at all. Listen to what one author said. Believing in Jesus is delighting in the fact, embracing the fact, and making Christ the treasure and the Lord of your life by surrendering to him. In other words, belief is seeing him for who he really is, seeing him as infinitely valuable as the Son of God. It's not just acknowledging the fact that he is the Son of God, but seeing him as infinitely precious and valuable. The way that I would put it is this. I quote J.D. Greer, who wrote a phenomenal book about assurance of salvation. Salvation is not a prayer that you pray. It's a posture of repentance and faith that is expressed in that prayer. When I ask the question, do you believe the testimony about Jesus? It's interesting because every time the Bible talks about believing in Jesus, it's not talking about the past. It's talking about a present reality. And most of the time, whenever I talk to people about the assurance of their salvation, they always want to go back and look at an event or something they did. And most of the time, whenever someone is struggling with the assurance of their salvation, what they're really struggling with is, what did I do right or what did I do wrong? And when the Bible says to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, it is literally saying to us to look upon Jesus and rest totally in the saving work of Jesus Christ. So the assurance of salvation does not come because somewhere in the past we think we did something right. Salvation and its assurance that accompanies that in our life comes when we are continuously looking on the finished work of Christ as not only the sufficiency for our salvation, but the very source of our salvation, and we quit looking at what we did or did not do. The truth of the matter is, no one says a perfect prayer, no one has perfect repentance, no one has perfect faith. Were it not for the grace of Almighty God, not one of us could be saved. And my concern is that you may be sitting here today and you're struggling with your assurance because you're looking at the wrong thing. Do you believe in the testimony of Jesus Christ? The evidence. Now, it's interesting because the Bible speaks about this in 1 John chapter 5. Look back in the text and let me show you something that it says. Notice it says in this passage, he says in verse 5, who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with the water and with the blood. What is he referring to? John is talking about the facts of the life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The water refers to the initiation of his ministry at his baptism, and the blood refers to his sacrificial death on the cross when he died for us. And so John is not saying that Christianity is devoid of facts. There are many facts. But it's more than simply acknowledging the facts. It is completely casting yourself and resting in and trusting in the reality of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Now, all of this is tied together. Do you look to Jesus and believe the testimony about Jesus? Verse 8, for there are three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and three are in agreement. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For the witness of God is this, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. Salvation is depending on the finished work of Christ. How do I know that I'm a Christian? How do I know that I genuinely decided to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? What is the posture of my heart right now? Am I leaning back to find my assurance in something I have done, or am I leaning into the finished work of Jesus Christ? Secondly, do you live manifesting the testimony about Jesus in your life? Do you live manifesting the testimony about Jesus in your life? Now, understand something. Never does the Scripture say that we can earn eternal life. Never does the Scripture say we can work our way into heaven. But what John is trying to do is to show his readers that the assurance of their salvation comes when they're looking at Jesus, not at themselves. And that one of the ways they keep looking at Jesus is to see if the life that Jesus promises is being manifest in them. All through his letter, John says one thing after another about what a believer looks like. Three of them are mentioned specifically in 1 John chapter 5. He says, number one, do you love God? The second thing he says is, do you love God's children? If you come across someone that says, you know, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church, I don't like church, they may be saved. And they may be going through a season of rebellion and resistance, but the truth of the matter is, the Scripture makes it abundantly clear that if you know Him, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are looking to Christ and He has imparted His life to you, this series is entitled Life in Christ. Look back at chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 25. Look what he says. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. I told my class this morning that the words eternal life are not merely talking about the quantity of time that we have with eternity, but it's talking about the quality of life that we have been given in Jesus. And so when John says, look, do you love God? He says, do you love his children? Because when Christ gives you his life, the manifestation of being born again, having been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, is that there are things that are going to be manifest in your life. Are you going to be perfect? No. Are you going to need to repent from sin? Yes. But the Bible says you're going to love God, you're going to love His children, and the manifestation of that love, listen to this, is that you keep His commandments. Look back in 1 John chapter 5 in verse 1 and 2. He says, whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know, we have assurance that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We don't keep His commandments to prove that we are Christians. We don't try to love other people because we want to earn God's favor. But when we have met Jesus Christ, the manifestation of the life of Jesus in us and through us is that we will genuinely love God, we'll love His children, and we will desire His commandments because they are not burdensome, and we want desperately to live a life in intimacy and union with our Father. Do you live manifesting the testimony about Jesus in your life? Sadly, I think our culture, you know, I think 50% of the people or more say they've prayed a prayer to receive Christ. 80% of the people in this country say they believe in a God. Surely they're not all Christians. I wonder in your own life. You know, being a Christian doesn't make us, you know, we're not going to be perfect. We still battle with the natural self and the fleshly man. I understand that. But if somebody says to you, are you a Christian? And the only thing that you can look back and go is, well, I got baptized as a kid, or I prayed a prayer some time ago, but there is no life-giving faith that you're leaning into today. If there is no genuine evidence that you are manifesting the life of Jesus in and through your life, it could be that you're resting in something that's not Christ. For those of you that may be struggling with your assurance today, and if you keep wondering, did I do something right? Did I say it right? Did I believe enough? Here's the truth. Assurance doesn't come from what you did. Your assurance comes when you just keep believing in the testimony about the evidence about Jesus. And when you look at the manifestation in your own life, is there evidence of the life of Jesus in you? Then God uses that to encourage you and empower you and strengthen you. So, third question I want to ask, and I'm going to close in a moment. Do you recognize the indwelling Holy Spirit at work in your life? The Bible says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. To bear witness with is a legal term and signifies to produce valid and convincing evidence. Our spirit here has reference to the renewed conscience. Concerning natural man, it is said, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, Romans 2:15. But the conscience of the natural man is partial, dim-sighted, stupid. Grace makes it tender, pliant, and more able to do its office. Listen to this author. The desire of the regenerate man, and unto which he exercises himself, is to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and men. Someone said the clearest biblical definition of assurance of salvation is this: abiding faith and the fruit it produces. Abiding faith and the fruit that it produces. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that when you become a child of God, there is a witness within you that is the Holy Spirit. And if you can continue in sin and there be no conviction in your life, that may say to you that you don't know Christ. If there is no evidence within you of the Spirit of God dwelling in you, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, those who have the Spirit have Christ, those that don't know Christ. So what's the condition of your soul? I want you to leave here today with the absolute assurance of the condition of your soul. And for those that have been doubting and wondering, you need to quit looking inward and you need to start looking upward, right? And for those that are struggling with assurance and you say, well, I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why am I still struggling? Adrian Rogers said that just like pain is a warning signal to the body, doubt is a spiritual warning signal to the soul. And either it's a warning signal that there's something spiritually wrong in your life, maybe there's a sin that you need to repent of, or maybe you're not a Christian, I don't know, but ultimately that's the Spirit of God that's going to show you that. But if you are doubting and you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you begin to look at the evidence of what Christ is doing in you and recognize the Spirit's work in you and through you and continue not only looking up at the finished work at Christ instead of inward, look up, but secondly, make sure to live with evidence of the manifestation of Christ in your life, and then listen. Listen for the inward working of the Spirit of the living God. One of four kinds of people in this room. The person who is confident of their salvation. How do I respond to this message? With humility and gratitude. Humility and gratitude that says, Lord Jesus, I am grateful that you have supplied everything for me and that you have called me and drawn me and saved me and I'm yours. What about the person who is unsure of their salvation?
Be honest. Be honest with yourself. And be honest with God. And it may be that God is calling you to come to one of the pastors in the balcony or on the floor and just say, I've been struggling a long time. And I just need to pour my heart out to the Lord and tell Him what's in my heart. And I need some help. Because here's what I believe. I believe there are genuinely born-again Christians here today that you're struggling with your soul. And you'll never be satisfied and you'll never grow the way God intends until you deal with this thing. The third kind of person we said is the clear person. They say, I'm not saved. I know it. I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. Would you please repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Which means that not only do you accept the facts about Him, but you surrender everything to Him because you know that only Jesus can save you. And there's nothing in this world worth more than knowing Him. What about that fourth person, the person who's deceived? You need to be born again. Fanny Crosby was born in 1820, and she was only about 6 weeks old. She went blind, but God has used her to write incredible hymns of the faith through the years. I think she died at about 1915. I think she wrote 8,000 songs. One of those, she wrote to a tune that was actually written by someone else. One day, Fanny Crosby was at the home of her friend Phoebe Palmer Knapp, and in Phoebe's home was the largest pipe organ ever installed in a private residence. And she had a new melody that she had just composed, and she said, Fanny, would you listen to this and tell me what you think it says? What do you think the tune says? To which Fanny Crosby said, Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And what I long for every one of us, is that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Would you stand this morning? I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads. Paul and the praise team, if you would go ahead and begin singing. I just want everyone's heads bowed and your eyes closed. And the pastors are coming to the altar. And it may be that you need to respond this morning. What is God saying to you this morning? As they begin singing, I want you to come from the balcony. There are pastors in the balcony on each end here at the floor. Maybe you just want to come to the altar and maybe God's speaking to you right now. Would you come right now? Right now, would you come? Heads bowed, eyes are closed. They're going to be singing. You come right now. People are praying. Do you need to come?